Welcome to Paper Money, the bi-weekly podcast covering the business side of the game industry, from Power Grid to Pathfinder, from Rio Grande Games to Paizo Publishing. I'm Ben Clark.
And I'm Rhett Kipp.
Today is February 11th, 2011.
Dum, dum, dum.
I got the year right.
Yes, you did.
Unlike last week, yeah.
And unlike last week, you got us into the correct year. We're in February. Everything's good.
Exactly. And in our corrections segment, we have none this week. I'm so excited. It was getting every show we were doing corrections of the last show. So other than Dan Glover sent a raging email that we hadn't apologized enough for getting it wrong about the Flowmaster or the brain flow or whatever that airbender.
Well, note that episode 43 has no corrections from previous episodes.
That's correct. Yeah, that was before
44. We will dedicate our entire show to corrections.
This is 44. This is 44.
Is it 44? So 45, then we will dedicate an entire show to nothing but corrections.
Yes, exactly. Well, in fact, we're even going to do it from inside a prison.
Wow.
The Department of Corrections. That said, let's move into the news. Toy Fair starts Sunday.
Toy Fair starts Sunday.
Yes, we'll be talking about Toy Fair more on the show, so I'm not going to go huge
into
this.
Waited with bated breath.
Yeah, or bait breath, really.
No, bait breath, I think, is coming out in 2012.
Oh, okay.
It'll be the new Hasbro game. It's kind of like Hungry Hippos.
Or as Mike Gray refers to them, Animals on a Stick games.
The Animals on a Stick. Woo!
Yeah. That said, let's move on to our next news story. Like I said, Toy Fair is a big deal. There are some stories about Toy Fair. The first and foremost is apparently the New York Times leaked Battleship Galaxies is coming out, I believe, this summer. And Hasbro was going to keep it under wraps and announce it at Toy Fair. New York Times, those crazy leakers, printed the story, I think, today, actually.
Yeah, I'm glad they did because, you know, the American public needs to know.
Well, remember.
It's critical.
It was more than one Gen Con ago. I think it was two Gen Cons ago. Mike Gray from Hasbro was wearing a Star Wars Galaxy shirt. Okay.
Right.
And then he was really excited about it. He couldn't say anything yet, but they were going to do this game. And then they did the whole movie license thing, and then it became a tie, and he couldn't talk about it. So now New York Times has let the cat out of the bag.
Only 2 years later.
I'm sure Andre Assange or whatever has something to do with it. Suffice to say, that's been I think the major story this week is that's coming out. And I think Barbie is trying to get back together with Ken. No, Ken is trying to get back together with Barbie.
Ken is trying to get back with Barbie.
Yeah, they always do heavily promote Barbie at Toy Fair, and I understand that they already have the billboards up. Ken is begging Barbie to come back, and with the tagline, I think we may be plastic, but our love is real.
Ooh.
Not bad. Yeah, that's good stuff. That's
wow.
They have good.
Yeah, you know,
copywriters
Barbie looks
over there
really damn good for someone about 55 years old.
Yeah, she's had worse.
She does have too long a neck for me, though. But hey, everybody has their quirks. And pink. Pink is just too much.
Moving on, Purple Pawn did their 2010 game industry survey. The results came out basically right after the show last week. And this is a huge 14-page PDF file. You can download it from the website. It's free, and I highly recommend it. They asked 7,000 companies, okay, who work in the non-electronic game industry. They got 421 responses, which, quite frankly, is an incredible response rate. And it basically put this giant thing together. This is probably one of the better sources of basically industry stuff, okay, that I have seen in quite some time. I'm not going to go into it in super detail because we've got a lot coming up on the show. We've got a ton of reader mail. We wanted to talk at length about Toy Fair. But here, let me give an example here. Of the companies responding, those that did not close reported good results in 2010, with 85% reporting that they had done at least as well or better in 2010 than they had done in 2009. Now, 2009 in particular was a fairly low bar, but that's interesting. interesting news. They have a lot more insights in the report. Definitely worth taking a look, purplepawn.com, and it's over on the most popular stories right now on the right-hand side of the page. So definitely take it, and download it. And Rhett, I guess I just want to say I'm really kind of pimping this, not just because Purple Pawn is our sponsor, but we had that question the other week about, you know, well, where do I find all this information?
Yeah, how do you locate information?
And quite frankly, outside of the paid report that I think I think it's like NRC Research or something. Somebody releases one around Toy Fair every year, which is a paid report. This is awesome free information. Highly recommended. Give it a read and digest it.
Yeah, it's a really impressive piece. And, you know, the fact that it's, as you say, free, kudos to Purple Pawn for getting this put together. I mean, this yeah. information is really hard to get under normal circumstances, and you know they've shown their strength by being able to do this.
Well, you know, kudos to Yehuda for doing it. I don't know that they're going to have everybody's numbers in there, and I know that was one of the questions specifically that people wanted to know in terms of, you know, copies sold and dollars made and things like that.
Right.
But in terms of a pulse on the industry, this is the best you're going to get, other than the little top 10 sales items based on one retail store in Lafayette, Indiana that you get in Game Trade magazine.
Yeah.
Now, that said, I want to move on to the next story. Speaking of companies that did well in 2010, Mattel Games Division up 27% in 2010. Mattel reported an increase in 2010 sales for their game divisions, including Radica Electronic Games and other games and puzzles. Sales were up 12% worldwide in Q4 and 27% for all of 2010. That's huge.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. Now, mind you, Mattel is expanding this division. So, you know, I'm not too surprised that they had an increase other than, you know, their alternative being that it bombed terribly. But still impressive.
Yes.
I think the numbers are a little deceptive, but I think the fact that they're up isn't. That's kind of the point.
Correct. I mean, they're up large enough that it really makes me take note. For one thing, what's their little tile laying game with the different colors? Not Click It.
I know which one you're talking about. I can't remember the name either.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm sure. Like I said, it's,
here we are.
Yeah, we're
professionals.
That's right. Very professional. But I guess one of the point I'm trying to make here is that that title came out in what, 2008?
At least so.
Yeah, and that's still their engine. Okay, for their game division that I know of. But the fact that they're up in lots of curly numbers, okay, not just, you know, a few percent, 27% is huge.
20%, yeah, for the whole year. And, you know, 12% for fourth quarter is also impressive, which means, you know, first through third quarter, much more impressive.
Correct. And Mattel has been going after the game market, the board game market. Should be interesting to see. Now, that said, okay, I don't know what Mattel's dollar figures are on their game division. I do want to say that it's kind of like if you – I'm going to say this. If you take a Ford Escape and make it a hybrid, it might still only get 22 miles per gallon, but it's a very, very impressive percentage increase in the miles per gallon because the miles per gallon before was still fairly low.
Right.
And I, to some extent, that could be said about Mattel Game Division. It was not a huge part of the company, and they decided to really make a stab at growing it. Now it is growing, but they were starting from a lot lower than, say, the Barbie division.
Yeah, and you know, I'm waiting to see what Hasbro gives us a report because, frankly, Hasbro is the, you know, 900-pound gorilla when it comes to the board games in the general market.
Correct. Correct. So I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure we'll hear more about that as Toy Fair continues. And that's it for the news. Like I said, wanted to keep it short. Our sponsorship, I'd be remiss if I did not mention the Purple Pawn, who, one, provided our news stories this week, and two, hosts our website. So definitely, if you're interested in game news from across the spectrum, check out the Purple Pawn. And let's move into reader mail.
No, we've got a lot of reader mail this month, or this week, I should say.
And before we start reader mail, Rhett, I would just like to point out, nope, I'm not going to point it out. There is, in fact, a letter about it. I will get to it in a minute. All right. Our good friend.
Nice little segue there.
Yes. Folks, trust us. We are professionals. Really.
We do this without a net.
Yeah, as is apparent. Anyways. Oh, I said it. Damn it. I've gone the whole show so far.
No, I knew you were going to. You're doomed. You're always doomed.
That's all right. That said.
That said.
All right. From Daniel in Sweden, we have this email. And this goes back a couple of shows when we were talking about names.
Strange names.
Yeah, strange names for games. And so I'm going to read this. And of course, he rattles off a whole bunch of weird names, which I'm going to mangle. But I think he raises a very interesting point. Glad to hear you two are back. I have to disagree with you, though, what you are saying about some of the examples we're giving of giving of games with bad names. I do not disagree with the general idea that there are some games with simply bad names. But to say that Alia Iacta Est, see, I even forgot it, is a bad name, I do not agree. First, it's a very well-known phrase, and seeing that it is a dice game, it is very well-suited. Now, I don't know the phrase, so I apologize. But he's Swedish, and the phrase is obviously Latin, so it's gotten around Europe. Anyways, he goes, it's also published by the company Alia, so there's a bonus tie-in with the game name. The only bad thing I can see is that the phrase is not well-known in the U.S. Why this would be, I do not know. Daniel, a little aside here. We're ignorant is the reason why it's not well known in the United States.
And we like acronyms.
Yeah, most Americans have a hard time pointing out the Panama Canal on a map.
Or the Pacific and Atlantic.
Yeah, let's not go there too far. Anyways, another of the games you mentioned was Egizia, and that is just another name for Egypt, which I didn't know. All right, I'm proving the point about bad geography. Which is where the game takes place. And if they'd called it just Egypt, it would have been really a crime. But the other game they just kept with the German name, that is just strange. The Hansa Teutonica game, I do not really get. The Hansa is well known for trading, so it's just a lazy way of telling people it's a generic trading game. But anyways, now, this is the interesting point I think he makes here. He says, have you considered that the opposite is true? Some American titles might have bad names for the European market. One game I can think of is A House Divided. This phrase would mean absolutely nothing to most Europeans, but I guess most Americans would know it. And the answer read is, yes, this is one that we know, we get. Immediately someone says A House Divided, we know.
Yeah, we all sit there and go, what?
Yeah, you don't have to tell me it's a Civil War game. We knew exactly what it was.
Yeah, usually the full quote is in at the beginning of this game as well. It's part of Lincoln's address.
Are you going to A House Divided?
No, I will not go into the entire thing, but right. We'll just leave it as it's a famous Lincoln address. And yeah. So Americans do know that. They actually even know who Abraham Lincoln is.
So anyways, that's a really good point that he brings up, is that the global marketing of a game, these are things you have to take into account. You know, I don't know if you remember the Buick LaCrosse that's selling very well here in the United States is not sold as the Buick LaCrosse in Canada.
Right.
Because LaCrosse is a slang term.
Right. And I cannot remember. Is it the Nova, which is in Spanish, translates to no-go?
Yes. They tried to sell the Nova in Mexico and couldn't figure out why sales were so terrible. And the Nova is, like I said, it's Spanish for no-go. There's a lot of things, examples like that. We can certainly go on and on and on about that.
I guess
in the game market, it hasn't really been a global market until very recently.
Yeah.
So this is something that I think we might see more of. Certainly, quite frankly, given the the avalanche of game titles that are coming out, there's a real good chance that all the good titles are already used up, so we're on to the bad titles. It's going to be like band names. Pretty soon you're going to have to name your band, you know, the Cruddy Mud Puppies, you know, or you're going to have to name your game something shocking just to get people to pay attention.
Yeah, there we go.
That was the dumbest idea I think I've ever floated on this show. All right. Anyways, Daniel, thank you for writing in. We're going to talk to we have a letter about Toy Fair, and I'm going to save that for last because that would make a good segue.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, this is a good one from. See, I went the whole first third of the show without saying anyways. I've now said it three times. All right, this one is from our good friend Dan Glover, and he says, I am missing the big point about the blogs and diaries, etc. It's not just anticipation or free marketing. Think of it as advertising 2.0. Hell, business 2.0. This is all about getting the visitor to buy into the site slash product, to have ownership and become vested beyond just being a visitor. Having these social net tools in place gets them involved on an emotional ownership level, which is way beyond just liking a thing. By leveraging a bit of their time and quite honestly getting de facto play testing and market testing out of it as well, they truly build a grassroots movement. By the way, when I was talking about tie-ins on iPhone, iPad, I wasn't talking about game apps. I was talking about what Wotsie is doing with the D&D cards. You have a board and then some dynamic content added to it via these avenues. I think is there really a Twitter tie-in on the D&D cards? I think that's what it is.
I believe there is, yeah.
I'm asking you, like the un-Twitterer. Anyways.
I'm not a twit. How would I know?
Anyways, good to hear the podcast again, Dan G. Thanks, Dan, for pointing this out. And I guess I'm trying to summarize. I understand what you're saying exactly here, and I apologize that I didn't give that impression on there. Because that's advertising 2.0 is about exactly what Dan said. This is what social media does. There's buy-in above and beyond. It's identification, right? In a mass market world, you are identifying yourself by the brand you buy. And the brands that you involve yourself in and the things that you involve yourself in. So it really is a little different than, I guess, the way I'd summarized it, which was free marketing or anticipation. There really is an emotional tie-in and stuff like that. There is more there than I guess I had.
More visceral?
Yeah, it is a deeper connection than just, yeah. Oh, I'm really excited that this game is coming out. You know, if you read the guy's blog, you know, you already know the backstory on the game and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's definitely, it was worth pointing out, I think, that this is it's a slightly different kind of advertising. And in the game market, where you don't have a ton of outlets, that's, you know, it's good. You, it's the kind of stuff that I think you're going to have to do. Oh, okay. No comment from the marketing guru.
No comment from the marketing guru.
Oh, thank God. All right. Well, that means we can spend more time on the other stuff.
We can pass right on. We can just say, yes. Yes, he's right.
So our next letter is from our good friend David Miller of the Purple Pawn. And he says, another great show, Ben, though I'm starting to regret that I made that suggestion about anyways. Yeah, that was David. Yes, the show was a little long, but you really covered your strengths. I think that information about game volumes is exactly what people are listening for. And to David and everyone else, I apologize. We can't get more specific about that. It was one of those things where we could get specific about it, but the people who told us that information would be very angry. So,
yes.
Yeah, we can't get any more specific than we did on the air. Anyways, he uses it. He uses it in his letter, folks. He says, anyways, Rhett has an idea about who got the Star Wars license and thinks they may announce something at Toy Fair. He goes, Sandstorm?
Well, you can just speculate there, Dave. I'm not about to tell anybody before they make an announcement who I believe has it. I've written it down on a rock. It's in a jar. And, you know, you can come and see it, and I will show you who I've said.
I want actually. It sent to me via certified mail. So
I'll have it hermetically sealed as well.
I'll buy the first round. I'll buy you a black martini at Nikki Blaine's at Gen Con if you get this one right.
Okay. You're on. It's in the mail tomorrow.
There you go. There you go. For the cost of certified mail, you too can enjoy a $8 martini. Now, that said, our final letter is from Alan Kaiser. Now, Alan had written before. In fact, I think Alan was the one who asked about the numbers that the different companies are doing. And he asks us about Toy Fair. He says, hey, guys, here's what I'd like to know about Toy Fair. Is Toy Fair relevant to the hobby gaming section of the industry? Toy Fair seems to be aimed more at the mass market section of the game industry. So who should attend Toy Fair and who should take a pass? I know that one of the FLGS in my area used to attend Toy Fair, but have since found it just didn't provide them with much bang for their buck and have started attending the Gamma Trade Show. Aside, they'd be the one. This raises the bigger question. Which national events should various members of the hobby game community attend? The answer to this question will, of course, be different depending on who you are. Players, game designers, publishers, retailers, etc. all have a different perspective and will get different things out of different shows. So which are the best events for these different members of the gaming community to attend? Well,
you get
Alan,
to do this every year. I keep telling you, we really should do this every year.
Great questions, but obviously haven't gone far enough back into the mists of time. I think was it sometime in last January, if it's still available online, Alan, we went through, was it January or February? It must have been January.
I believe it was January last year. And prior to that, it was during the summer of our first season.
Yes, we went through and we said these are the shows you should attend as a game designer, as a player, as a retailer, etc. And I don't think that has changed too much. So
But in fairness, and again, because I think this is one of the things that we can never say too often, even if our regular listeners, you know, perhaps know it as well as we do now. The answer is there's always someone new, and digging around is, you know, a lot of work because we don't actually have an easy way to tell you where to find it.
Well, we're going to start with New York Toy Fair, right? We're going to talk about New York Toy Fair in general here, but there are two shows on the near horizon here. There's actually three, really, that you need to be thinking about. And we'll talk about this at length next week. If we're still getting questions about this, we're going to talk about this next week when we talk to David Miller, who is attending New York Toy Fair. I'm taking a pass this year. I got tired of paying my own way. You know, I'm just going to have to quit and not worry about it.
It's like smoking. You know, if we hit you long enough or we shock you hard enough, you'll stop.
Yeah, I need a negative feedback mechanism. Anyways, I did it again. I'll just edit that out. New York Toy Fair is coming up. The NSSEA show, I think, is coming up. The NSSEA is the National Schools and Something Education Association. It's the National School Supply and Education Association. I always mangle that. Their show is coming up in, I want to say, March. Usually it's right around the same time as the Gamma Trade Show.
Yeah, I believe it's right after.
Yeah, but they split it into two a year or two ago, and so there was one in the spring and one in the fall to more match up with school buying cycles. And I'm not sure if it's basically two shows that have the same content or they have one set in the spring and one set in the fall. I'll have to look that up for our next show. But that's coming up. Gamma Trade Show's coming up in March and New York Toy Fair. So let's talk about New York Toy Fair.
Yeah, New York Toy Fair. Should you attend? Are you mass market? Do you have multiple retail outlets? I'd say if that were the case, this is a great show for you. You get to go talk to people like Lego if you schedule yourself in to see them. You get to go and talk to people like Hasbro. You get to go and talk to people like Mattel. And for the smaller guys who are trying to break in, they get to talk to people like Walmart, Target,
maybe.
Toys R Us.
Maybe.
Well, at least they have a shot at it here.
Yes.
They certainly aren't. You certainly won't see them at any of the other shows for the most part that we're going to talk about.
Correct.
So that's, you know, from the manufacturer's end, there are people you will not see otherwise. Again, talking pretty much here, big box mass market. And in reverse of the same thing. Is there information that you need? Depends on what you do for a living. You know, if Hasbro, a wide range of Hasbro products is on your shelf, then I'd say you do need Toy Fair. If Mattel and Hasbro are both on your shelf, I'd say it's an absolute. You know, you'll get to talk to them and see their product, and this is when they're getting ready to start writing orders.
Right. Now, Rhett is obviously talking here from the perspective of a retailer. Now, to give you let me backstep a little bit. New York Toy Fair, there's a couple of things you need to know about it. One, you can't buy anything. Well, you can write an order for it, but they're not selling it on the show floor. Two, you have to be, you have to prove that you are in the industry. Okay, they will not let the general public into the show. I got hassled last year, even with my business card, which was annoying as all hell. Three, no one under 18 is allowed to attend, which sounds really weird for a toy fair, but there it is.
But it's a business toy fair.
And it's huge. Wear comfortable shoes, okay? If whether you're walking the floor or manning a booth, it's absolutely huge. It's two floors, Jacob Javits Center in Midtown Manhattan. The games, what I like to refer to as the games ghetto, it's traditionally it's downstairs on the is it the west side? I forget. Anyways, it's right down the stairs. It takes up about three aisles. And then upstairs, the Coplo Games is up there right at the front. Why? Because they've been attending New York Toy Fair since the dawn of time. Mayfair is still downstairs, but most of the big manufacturers are going to be upstairs. Hasbro, Mattel, and then some of the other mid-majors in the game market are upstairs. That said, 90% of the show is toys and, you know, everything from telescopes to, you know, bicycles to remote control cars to, you know, $3,000 toy kid-sized pianos, you name it. If it can be sold as an entertainment item, it's there.
Non-electronic.
Oh, no, there's no electronic games, but there's tons of electronic toys.
Right. I'm referring to it's not like, you know, E3.
Yeah. Now, with that in mind, it is a mass market show, okay? If, for instance, Rhett, let's run through the list. As a retailer, if you carry some of the titles that that Rhett mentioned, right? If you cross over Blockus, that was the Mattel game we could think of.
Yeah.
If you carry Blockus, if you carry some of the other mass market things, you know, the party game type things, it might be a good show to see. Hasbro does a select unveiling of next year's items for the really big retailers, but they do let everybody in. You'll get to see previews. I know, for instance, Playroom Entertainment had previews of their whole 2010 line last year. Even stuff that wasn't coming out till third and fourth quarter, you could get your hands on it and feel it. So as a retailer of that ilk, that would be that. Yes, it might be a good show to attend. If your store is called the Comic Dungeon and it's half comics and the other half is role playing and miniatures, this might not be your bag.
Probably not a choice for you.
Yeah, in terms of role playing games, I've seen Privateer Press there. I wouldn't be surprised if Fantasy Flight now attends, but even they might skip this one.
Fantasy Flight, I think, would be this is probably a Fantasy Flight type of a thing. Privateer probably when they were trying to break the collectible miniature stuff over.
Yeah, that's when that was. It was the run up to Monsterpocalypse that year.
Yeah, when you're shooting to get into mass market, this is the place to be.
Correct. Now that said, if you're a let's talk about that. Like some of the people who are there, Privateer. I don't think it was there last year. But who is there are the distributors.
Okay, right.
Because all the retailers are there, the distributors are there. So if you're interested in talking to distributors, guess what? They're at the show, all of them. If you are an RPG company, don't go. Well, if you're a really big one and you're selling into the book trade, maybe. But other than that, it's just not worth it. It's a very expensive show. In fact, let me talk about.
I think this is the most expensive show there is.
It is, and one of the reasons for that is your choices are you can stay in Virginia cheaply. Or you can stay in Midtown Manhattan and actually be close to the show. And hotels in Midtown Manhattan, even the show rate is over $200 a night. And so it's very expensive. Usually you've got to fly in, which means you're also going to have to ship everything in. If you don't fly in, parking is astronomical because it's Midtown Manhattan. The booths there are fairly expensive. You're looking at a 10x10 booth. It's probably going to run, I want to say $2,000 to $3,000. I can't remember what we paid when I was going. I want to say we were paying over $3,000 for our booth.
That would seem in line since that puts it somewhere in the Gen Con range for pricing.
I thought Gen Con was at 15.
Depends on if you're an island or an attachment or whatever.
Suffice to say, it's very expensive, and they're going to hit you up for carpet and chairs and tables and the skirts that go around your tables, and if you want an electrical connection. Again, all these things add up. Honestly, budget $5,000 for the show if it's just you and one other person from your company and you're in a 10x10 booth. And if you're doing that, chances are you're not going to have a good show. But you know what, though? And I keep telling people it's you know, small companies shouldn't go. Right? I've seen way too many of my people I printed games for go to New York Toy Fair, spend a lot of money, have a wonderful time, and come away having sold about six games to retailers. What you need to know is that there are companies who go to the show and do well. Good example would be North Star Games. Right? Dominic and his crew go to New York Toy Fair, and now if you guys don't know North Star Games, they do Wits and Wagers and Say Anything are their two strong products. And they're a small company, but they straddle that line between geek games and party games, and consequently they're in Target, they're in some of these other places, and those deals were brokered on the floor at New York Toy Fair.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, if you're a manufacturer and you are trying to get into the mass market, you think you have a mass market product and you want to get in there, then this is the place to go, because you will have the opportunity. I'm saying you'll get to see them, but at least you'll have the opportunity to see the mass market guys, which you will not see at, like, Gamma, for example.
Correct. Gamma is going to be all the geek stores, the ones that Rhett and I go to or work at, you know. New York Toy Fair, but let me give an example. I have customers who I printed games for. They printed 1,000 games. And so they went to New York Toy Fair and spent a boatload of money at New York Toy Fair to pimp their games. And they still have, you know, 300 left, you know, and this is, but they didn't sell them at New York Toy Fair. They would have been better off doing a direct mail campaign to the members of Astra, for instance, because at 1,000 games, you're not going to break the mass market. So it's one of those things where you, even if you're targeting the mass market, you might not have the right product to be at New York Toy Fair is where I'm going with this. Mayfair is there. Rio Grande is there. But again, you might not have to be at this show. If you're on a shoestring budget, skip New York.
Yeah.
That would be, on the other hand, it's really cool. I love going there every year. Cousin of Discover Games now has she has a party promoting Chai Tag on Tuesday night that has always been, one, it's a blast, and two, it's a chance to meet and greet some really amazing people from around the industry who otherwise I wouldn't have had a chance to. The Chai Tag party is almost worth the price alone in terms of rubbing shoulders with interesting people. The Mayfair, I think, is running a promo at the Complete Strategist this year, which they are tying in with. No, it's Gen Con. Gen Con and Mayfair, I think, are having a promotional party at the Complete Strategist. You don't actually have to be go to Toy Fair to actually go to their afternoon event at the Complete Strategist, which, by the way, is the narrowest game store I've ever been in.
It is a cool store, though. It is downtown Manhattan.
It is. It's pretty much the only game store in downtown Manhattan.
And I can't imagine what he pays for rent.
I don't know if they're charging him by width of store. He's getting off fairly cheaply. Literally, folks, it's about
twice the size of the door.
Yeah, I want to say at most it's 20 feet wide.
Yeah,
yeah, like the whole store. It's long, but it's very very narrow. Anyways. So New York Toy Fair, it's an expensive proposition. So let's run through this. I want to recap this for everybody who is, like we did, the last time we did this. So retailers, if you're into the board games in the mass market, or say you're a hobby store who sells games and other items, science kits, you know, toys, things like that. Yeah. If you're a mom and pop toy store, you should be there.
Be there.
Yeah. You have to be there. If you are, like I said, again, if you're a strictly hobby store, this is one you can pass on. As an exhibitor, right? As a manufacturer, again, hobby market only, skip the show. Save your money. If you're looking to crack the mass market, if you think that your product is shooting out the door or can go that go in that direction, this might be a good show to attend. I would add the caveat, though. This is not a show. No one. This applies to any show, but strictly, very much New York Toy Fair. No one is going to buy based off of the prototype.
It has to be a product.
Yes, you will not get orders based on the prototype. People will look at it. They might tell you it's interesting and that they're interested. They might give you their business card and call them when it's out, but nobody's going to order based on the prototype. This applies to all shows, especially New York Toy Fair. Okay, so manufacturers, we don't really have a players segment at New York Toy Fair.
No, there is none.
What else should we – oh, here's the thing to know. And,
well, for designers.
Yeah. Oh, designers?
For the designer end.
Yes, go.
The answer is you're trying to make connections into the big toy market. This is in the big game market. This is a good place to try. You know, you will get to see the cool people from Hasbro, the cool people from Mattel. Some of the other meet and greets, like we've already talked here. You'll get to rub elbows with the people you need to rub elbows with.
Correct.
This may be one of your two best shows.
Yes. The other one being?
The other one I would say would be Shitei. Even more so than Gamma.
Hmm.
If your hobby industry...
All right, we'll leave.
If your hobby industry, this is less important.
Yes.
This is the best way I can describe it. Hobby industry, Toy Fair, less important. Outside of hobby industry, more important.
Correct. Yeah, outside of the hobby industry, there's almost no other show that comes close. In fact, no other show comes close for the mass market. Chi Tag is growing, but it's nowhere near what this is. There are some other shows that are marginally interesting, but this one is the big Mac Daddy.
Yeah. So, all right, I think we're there.
Yes, I think so.
Next.
That said, let's see, words of advice if you are going to New York Toy Fair. One, buyers wear special colored badges. Okay, so if you have a buyer badge, you're like, it's like walking around with a bullseye. Two, don't split your booth. Right? A lot of companies try and do this at places like Gen Con and things like that to save money. You cannot do this at Toy Fair. They will enforce it. They will fine you. How do I know this? Ask my boss. Who was fined? Because we had some of our customers in the booth pimping their games. Other things to know. One, if you're on Expedia and you find a hotel room for $58 a night, make sure it has a bathroom. How do I know this? it was a private room, but it wasn't a hostel. So it was the European setup. The bathroom was down the hall. And it was conveniently located only a few blocks from my favorite bar in the entire universe, other than Nikki Blaine's in Indianapolis, which is the Dead Poet on Amsterdam Avenue or New Amsterdam. And convenient also to my friend Kostaki Economopoulos, who has a place. But it didn't have a bathroom in the room, which was a little disconcerting. So anyways, do beware of that. It was a good neighborhood. It was really cheap, and it fit my budget since I was paying my own way on that one. But again, these are things. Other things to remember. Go to the kebab guy out front of the convention center because he's a ton cheaper than the food in the convention center. I've never paid $4.50 for a 12-ounce cola before, but I have at New York Toy Fair. So anyways, all right. On that note, Rhett, do you have any other pearls of wisdom for Alan and others?
For Toy Fair?
Yeah.
No, I think, if you're in New York, make a go of it. See what else is there. Especially if you're in a book trade. Barnes & Noble's head office is in New York, downtown Manhattan. If you're trying to connect with them anyhow, schedule it around then.
Yes. And finally, what else was I going to say? I can't remember if it was a general New York recommendation or a specific Toy Fair recommendation.
I can't tell you.
It's the one I didn't write down. So, all right. That said, New York Toy Fair coming up, starting this weekend. By the way, it starts on Sunday because traditionally that's when the toy stores were all closed. So all the retailers in the Northeast would hop a train and drive into New York for the day and catch the show and then head back out. And so now after 50 years, it's tradition, which is annoying to everyone concerned because it's usually it screws up Valentine's Day weekend. Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Happy Valentine's Day, what?
Yes, because I love all of our listeners, each and every one of them, all six. The thing I was going to say is it's the weather traditionally flying in and out of New York at this time of year is awful. Now, I know they've had blizzards and stuff like that, but every other year coming in or going out of New York Toy Fair, New York gets hit with enough snow to screw up plane travel. So if you are flying in and out of New York, take that into account. I know some groups, in fact, Mayfair gets there at least a day early and doesn't leave until the next weekend. So they'll actually fly out 2 or 3 days later because they got tired of getting stranded. So anyways, all right, that's New York Toy Fair. Everything you need to know about New York Toy Fair. And again, you can Google New York Toy Fair and go to the TIA website, and they'll have all sorts of stuff that you really don't care about. And next week, we're going to have David Miller on the show. Now, David is a correspondent for the Purple Pawn. David is going to go to the New York Toy Fair. He does have a Lego interview. He has a meeting with Lego this year.
I'm jealous.
I know. For those of you who haven't been to New York Toy Fair, Lego has a block size, by block, I mean city block, not Lego block, a block size compound, and it's completely walled off, and there's a person with a clipboard to make sure if you're allowed in, okay? It is I have never seen tighter security at a booth anywhere, but it really is, it's neat because you get to see all the Legos in advance. So anyway, so we're going to have David on the show. He'll give us basically the 10-foot view, I guess, haven't been on the floor. Wear out some shoe rubber doing that. But, Rhett, how can other people send us their questions, as Alan did, which led to this very, very long discussion about New York Toy Fair?
Well, you can contact us by email at papermoney@purplepawn.com. You can Skype us at Paper Money Podcast, or you can phone us at 773-634-9377.
That's correct. And you can email us at papermoney@purplepawn.com. So always glad to get your material because, well, then we don't have to work as hard to put the show together.
Yeah.
No, I'm teasing. Hey, okay, so next week we got Dave Miller.
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. So this week I'm in Atlanta. Like I said, my good friend Kostaki is performing at the Punchline this week, coming weekend. So I'm going to be up there this weekend. I don't want to have to do the show.
I don't blame you. You know, I can fully understand that. And I won't even be around. So there.
Exactly. Exactly. So if he does any board game material, if he's got any new stuff, we'll try and get him on the Christmas show again. So. All right, that said, Rhett, take us out of here.
All right, our next show will be February 25th. That's 2 weeks from now. It'll be post-Toy Fair show. And that's it for this one. I'm Rhett Kipp.
And I'm Ben Clark.